he hit us right where we live, don't you think? Yes, we change every day of our lives. I'm here to say we change, that is for sure. I'm telling you. His wife must be really bad or he wouldn't know that. Oh, boy. All right, people, because of what the preacher said about our changing and having these times when we don't feel good, and I really am planning to show colored slides of my operations. You didn't know that, but that's what this 8-minute film is going to be, you know. And I just love to talk about it, don't you? I just love to tell what I've tried and what, you know, what medicine you're on and what therapy you're using, and water therapy and all this and that and the other. And I love to have a disease buddy because they'll listen to you if you'll listen to them. No one else wants to hear it. But, I mean, they know they've got to listen so long or you won't give them time, equal time. And it's neat to have a disease buddy. I like that. But, you know, people, we are hurt. We're hurting people. We're wounded. Do you know you're walking among the wounded here today? You don't know how I'm wounded in my life. I don't know how you're wounded in your life. But I can tell you that there's scores and scores of people here whose lives, there's been wounds. We're not just hurt. We're wounded. We're bleeding. And so what do you do? What do you do to be able to not be that witchy person and that person that people don't want to be around? What's one of the things that you can do? What are some things to do? Stay out of the world. Do everything you can do to stay out of the world system. We live in the world. We are a part of the world. But do everything you can do to stay out of the world system. People, stay away from things such as the daily newspapers. When you get USA Today or something like that, just tear up most of it and throw it away. There's some good stories in there and some things you should know. But, folks, I mean, when you get into the newspaper, you feel depressed. And we need to be careful about letting ourselves become depressed. And there's certain things that will make us depressed. And I know the newspaper is one that will make me depressed. You sit down and read the newspaper, it's rape and murder and war and rumors of war. And things are getting, the stock market's crashing. And I was all upset until I thought, I don't have any money in it anyway. You know, what difference does it make to me? Well, it does. I realize that, you know, there's a point to where it does. But, I mean, you would have thought, you know, sometimes you read that stuff and you get all upset and excited about it. And people, that was happening when my grandpa lived with us. I had a grandpa who lived with us and listened to the radio all the time, was upset all the time. And I'd go, oh, that old grandpa, you know. And that was when I was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. The world's still bad. It'll always be bad. Let it go ahead and be bad. Let's go ahead and do what we're supposed to do, which God has given us ways that we can go ahead and be happy. Be happy, fulfilled Christians. Turn to Philippians 4, one of my favorites. People who know me know that it's one of my favorites. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. How in the world do we stay rejoicing Christians? And some of you, you're asking me things like, what if my kid does not know that one of us, and one of my husband or myself are not, you know, my husband maybe is not the parent, the but just is an adopted parent, but not the birth parent. How soon do I tell them? Will they rebel? I mean, we have problems in our lives that we didn't mean to have. We didn't mean for them to happen. We didn't mean for these things to happen. It wasn't our goal in life when we started off in life and we planned to be married. We didn't plan to make our husbands unhappy. We didn't say, boy, I'm going to marry him and make him as unhappy as at all possible. You didn't have a baby and say, I'm going to ruin this kid's life just as fast as I can. You didn't plan it. It just happened. And now you live in guilt and depression and nervousness and all of these things. But your life is so complicated with things that you wish wouldn't have happened. And then we're told, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in Philippians 4:4. You go, yeah, sure, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, the way I feel, you know. If it said grumble in the Lord always, I could do that, you know. But people, it doesn't say rejoice in not knowing who the birth father is of your child. Maybe you don't even know his name. And you have to tell your kids someday that when they ask who it is. And you have to be able to say, I'm sorry, honey. I did some terrible things. And this is how it pays. I can't even tell you the name of your birth father. I don't know his name. It doesn't say in here, rejoice in something like that. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're only to rejoice in him. Not in cancer, not in a rare disease your child has and only has a few weeks to live. Not in divorce. It doesn't say rejoice in all those things. It just says rejoice in the Lord. It's simple as that. And God never gives us a command, but what he goes ahead and tells us how that's to be done. How am I to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the other thing. Just thank him. Get into the attitude, you know, that gratitude attitude. Get into the gratitude attitude. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, how do we get this peace of God? 8, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, but okay, the stuff in the paper, some of it is true. Now, you don't know which is. I understand that. I mean, even the producers of news are saying we produce it. We just don't report news anymore. We produce news. They make things happen, you know, and then so they can have good ratings. And we know that that's true. But it doesn't only just have to be true, but honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. That means you don't even think on bad reports. You just don't allow. It's not allowed. I had a grandkid that used to say, not allowed, not allowed. Somebody had said, this is not allowed, you know. And God's saying, not allowed. It's not allowed. Or if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's say that, think on these things together. Let's say it about 5 or 6 times, or as many as I keep you going. Think on these things. 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 Now, what things? Those things are honest and just and true and lovely. And when you get down to lovely, is it lovely? Then you're not supposed to think on it. You know, take care of it, get it out of your life, and go ahead. But how are you going to think like that if you're into the newspaper every day? People, I find that the newspaper comes in. If you buy it every day, it comes in, and you feel like you've got to really look at all of it every day. I paid for it. I'm going to look at it. Well, folks, we paid for our Bibles. Let's decide we're going to look at the Bible. We say, I just don't know how I can get everything done. What can I cut out? How can I simplify my life? My schedule is so jam-packed. You can simplify your life by getting a hold of that newspaper and anything you're not interested in or anything that shouldn't be, isn't something, lifestyle. We have what's called lifestyle. It's all about the movie stars and the soap operas and the talk shows and all that. We don't need to know that. So just throw that section away. And pick and choose what you read out of the newspaper. Magazines. In our Christian homes, we have secular magazines all over a coffee table in the living room. Let's see to it that we put Christian material there. The best of secular magazines has answers to questions that are completely against the Bible. Completely. Last September, I think it was, Good Housekeeping was asking one of those columnists in Good Housekeeping. Somebody wrote in and said something about, what should I do when my child is going to someone's home and I believe they're going to be watching a video that I'm not sure whether it's right or not. And the woman wrote back, I think it was the Post woman, not Emily, but or whatever, one of those people, one of those Post ladies. I don't pay attention to that manners thing anyway. But anyway, she wrote back and said something about, well, it wouldn't be harmful or the parents wouldn't have it. Come on, let's wake up. I mean, you know, to think that, I mean, you've watched videos in your own home that are harmful. You know, I mean, we have things that we let the kids watch and babysit our kids. Videos that babysit our kids, and our kids are just glued to it, you know. And here comes, you know, somebody around in a little sexy dress and so forth, or maybe not even that, and we teach that's wrong, but yet we'll have it in our home. That's us. And this was, you know, we're supposed to be the cream of the crop. Doesn't that scare you? When you think about it, we're the cream. What's the rest of it like? A television program, or like I say, a video. People, if it says damn and hell a few times, we go, well, if it says it one more time. And so we let curse words be in our home when we don't believe in it. So we're thinking on the wrong things, and then we're wanting to have peace with God and have a joyful, happy life. And it doesn't work like that. You see something like Sound of Music, which is that's a Sunday school picnic type of video, wouldn't you say? All that's in it is it exalts Catholicism. There's smoking, drinking, dancing, a few little things like that, you know. And we say that's a really good one. So we're watching the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong things. We're flirting too much with the world and then wanting to have a rejoicing, carefree, happy Christian life. The books. People, the romance companies are starting a new company every month. Not a new book every month, a new company every month. We're not having romance in our marriages, so we're having to get them out of books. And women are wanting them so much that they're starting whole new companies. Christian radio. The preacher mentioned it a while ago. Christian, in quotes, radio. The music and and what you're going to hear on a Christian radio station. Why don't we just replace it with some things that are going to cause us to be able to have the kind of thing the life God wants us to have? Some of you have been depressed. Some of you have had times when things have gone wrong and you feel like you just like to give up. Right after I came off of chemotherapy 11 years ago, for about a year, I felt nothing but guilt. I felt helpless, hopeless. I was wringing my hands. I was sweaty. I was indecisive. I doubted the reality of God. There was a little Bible reading, prayer, or soul winning in my life. No, I didn't want light. A girl came in. I didn't want people to come in. They just used to shuffle things in. I'd like to read books or something like that. But they sort of shuffled some books into me from a library, and then I didn't want them coming in. But a girl came in from the school, and she was fixing me a sandwich, and I said, "What's that?" She said, "It's the toaster." I mean, that's the noise of the toaster bothered me. You know, light bothered me. I didn't want to be around groups. I can remember being in church and sitting toward the back of the church. I sat behind the Edgably Slow because I was worse than the Edgably Slow, so I sat behind the Edgably Slow. And I can remember thinking, I am going to get up and run out of this church screaming. And if I ever get well, they're not going to want me to have anything to do with this church again. So just before I embarrass myself and my husband for the rest of my life, I'm going to get a mint out of my purse and just see if the mint would help me. And my purse is so big, and there's so much clutter in it, that by the time I got down and dug down to get the mint, I was a little more calm. I didn't even have to put it in my mouth. I guess I thought there was some chemical or something, that if I put it in my mouth, that mint was going to calm me down. It calmed me down just to look for the mint. And I sat there the rest of the time, you know, doing all right. God wants us to focus on those things that are honest and just and true and lovely and pure and of good report. Focus on. You who have given birth by natural childbirth and have taken those classes and so forth, they always tell you to bring something you can focus on. Now, what I hear from some people is they say, bring a picture of your husband. And I know you throw darts at him, they say, during that time, you know, and all this type of thing. But we're to focus on something. You know, just focusing off of ourselves will help us through those times when we're nervous, worried, depressed, you know, gossipy, gripey, complainy, whiny, all that stuff. When you think that you're just not going to be able to make it through your life, it's going to help you a lot to be able. Have you ever just, if the house is quiet and you're not feeling well, and you just listen to the ringing in your ears, and you decide you've got an unordinary ringing in your ears, and you get all upset about the ringing in your ears, you know, or you feel claustrophobic, closed in. I got in one of those little porta pots out there, and I didn't know how to undo the thing, and I almost got claustrophobic in there. I don't care how pretty it is. I didn't know if you can't get out of it, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I was about to shake the thing until I shook myself over and just, you know, fell over. And finally, I got the thing open. But you know, you get to feeling claustrophobic and all these kinds of things. People, we're people who have problems. I mean, when we got saved, our problems didn't all get taken away. And we didn't do right as soon as we got saved. We didn't do right in our marriages, with our children, and now you have guilt. And it seems like when you get down on yourself, you know where you'll turn? The penitential psalm. And you'll just feel more and more guilty. Even your Bible reading will cause you to feel more guilty. Or do you ever worry and put God before it and you call it prayer? You know, you say, God, I'm terrible, and it's awful. And you know, and by the time you get through praying, you feel worse than before you even started praying. Because you just feel that way about yourself. People, if we're not going to do this Christian radio and these romance novels and the world's magazines and the world's newspapers and the world's television and the world's videos, what are we going to do? What could you do if you didn't do all those? Think, what in the world could you do? One of the things you could do is have a lot of fun. And you know, we need to have a lot of fun. And Christians are the only ones who should have a lot of fun. I'm on my way to hell, or I don't know where I'm going, and I can have fun? No. Even though I have problems, I can have fun because of the fact that I know I'm going to heaven when I die because I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in it. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and his blood cleansed me from my sin. And because of that, I'm going to heaven when I die. I have to go through on this earth. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Those two facts make it so that we can have fun while going through our problems. So look at Proverbs 15:15. And maybe you'd like to underline it. I know you know the verse, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But there's three. There's a merry heart giveth a good countenance. A merry heart is like a medicine. And 15:15 in Proverbs, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And folks, it's without calories. Can you imagine a continual feast? And a merry heart will do that. People, if you're going to have time to just have fun. Just have a good time. And even make fun of yourself. If you'll recycle the trash in your life, you're going to have a good time. You all have done as stupid of things as I have done. But you just don't tell them. You have enough sense not to tell them. I realized on a plane when I was going to a meeting some years ago, I heard a sketch by Flip Wilson or Bill Cosby, one of them, I can't remember, one of those. And they were doing a 10-minute skit or something, and it was all about Halloween and turning over toilets, outhouses. And I thought, there's nothing new about this. But the fact was, the guy was telling it and making millions doing it. And you could do that too. The fun things, the crazy things that have happened to you, the stuff that's happened around you that you don't want anybody to know, just go ahead and have fun with it. Have a merry heart. Laugh at yourself. Have a continual feast. It'll help you through these hard times. Some of the things, I grew up in Nebraska in a little town of about 300, and then later 300 to 500, and later another little town of about 2,000. And when I came home from college, I would call to my aunt and uncle, and I'd go 6-2. That's all we said, 6-2. And the operator would go, well, Marlene, you're home. You know, I'd been gone 4 months. You know, you're home. You know, sort of like Mayberry RFD and Aunt B, you know, and all that stuff. And I said, yeah, you know, and I would call my aunt and uncle. She said, Leland and Carl have gone to Beatrice. They're not home. Well, you know how she knew. She listened in. That's how simple my life was. And I went on through school and met a man at college, and the man told me he was going to be a rural pastor and has ended up putting me in Chicago at land area. Is that the truth or not? What do you think? But anyway, when the college first started, well, our home was being called a lot with our knowing all the students and all. And my husband said we should have two lines at home. People, remember now, I'm the girl who came from Mayberry RFD, you know, 6-2, at Leland O'Carr, our home, you know, and here I am, got two lines in the same house, you know, and they had seven-digit numbers, too, and I mean, that's very difficult for me. You know, all of that is very hard for me, let alone two lines. Well, one of the lines, we started getting calls, not those kind where they give obscene things or anything like that, say anything, are those breathing kinds or nothing, just nobody be there. And they called day and night. And I finally got, you know, pretty tired of it. And my husband said, well, I'll go to Crown Point and I'll get a new number. I'll get an unlisted number. And when he went to Crown Point, the people said, don't do that. Don't get an unlisted number. Said, you can get it and you can get a new number for just $10, I think it was then. But said, don't do it. Said, here's what you do. The next time those people call you, whoever they are, you say, operator, this is the party I'm having the trouble with. And they'll think the line is tapped and they won't do this to you anymore. So, that sounds good. But my husband said, no, I'm just going to get the new number. So he brought the new number home and handed it to me. The same day, another friend got a new unlisted number and handed it to me, and I had two unlisted numbers, and I didn't put any name down by them because I didn't want anybody to get what our new unlisted number. So I had two unlisted numbers. Leslie Beeman, Miss Toledo over there, is the one that gave me her number, her new unlisted number. And so I when I got home, I thought I'd try my friend on her unlisted number. And I went to the kitchen and called, and the living room phone rung. You're ahead of me. So I went to the living room and picked up the phone. They already have my new number. There was no one there. And I thought, if they already have my new number, they must be terrorists. You know, But I was brave, and, you know, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I put the phone down and decided if they got me, I was on my way to heaven anyway, you know, and decided I'd go on back and call my friend. I called my friend again, and the living room phone rang again. I went in there, and it was the person, but this time I remembered, and I said, "Operator, this is the party." And then I realized I was calling myself from the kitchen. I've laughed about that ever since, I'll tell you. People, we might as well laugh. I mean, we're not going to get out of this alive anyway. And we've done some things wrong, and we're guilty, and we're depressed, and we're all nervous and worried and depressed and everything else. But we might as well laugh. You know, if we've confessed to the Lord our sins and done what we could about what we didn't do right, and we're doing what we can, we should just go ahead and laugh. Boy, a laugh is a healthy thing. And I don't mean a little. I mean a real gut-wrenching laugh. I mean, really laugh. It really helps you. It's as cleansing. I think it's more cleansing. I'm sorry, Lord. You know what I mean. I think it's more cleansing than a prayer that you put dear God before that's really just a worry. And God is the only one who could help you be able to laugh. And when you're so silly as I am, you know, there's a lot to laugh about. 11 years ago when I had cancer, well, I had a mastectomy, and I had another one. I'm not going to have any more. Only people who are on the sideshow of the circus could do more. I've given all I can give from the front. So I went back up to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where, you know, they had told me what to do about chemotherapy, and I'd had surgery at home, but Mayo had told me what to do and everything. And I went back up there, and they said, and my coordinating doctor up there gave me my packet that I was supposed to go through in a week or 10 days, and you go to all these tests, and he put a mammogram in there. I didn't think anything about it. I thought, well, I guess they wanted, there's some way they study the tissue under the scars or something like that, you know. I had no idea. I thought they ought to know what they're doing, you know. Surely they can tell, you know, what's what here. And so I went ahead to my mammogram. I have never seen anybody so confused. I had my little gown on. You know those kind that no matter what size they give you, they don't fit you, you know. You know, you put on two, one backwards and one frontwards, and you know, try to get around, you know, in it. And I came in for my mammogram, and they went, I think you ought to go back to your consulting doctor. I guess they figured they ought to tell me, you know, that I had mammograms. I mean, mastectomies, I don't know. And I didn't know. I mean, I thought, I'm in Mayo Clinic. They should know what they're doing, right? You know? I didn't know what I was doing. I laughed all week long. I had wondered about it, but I just left it up to them to know what they were doing was off. When the preacher was talking this morning about the tests and everything like that, I got so tickled because I guess that when you're going through medical tests and everything like that, you know, some really funny things happen. I, too, went into he said he took his briefcase and all that, and he didn't know who he was, you know. They tell me that I was using the toilet paper inside of a toilet paper roll for a dictaphone one day. And somebody here was talking about the difference between a man and a woman. Who was it that did that? Who? I didn't know Mrs. Rule knew that. She's one of our girls from the school, and I thought she had kept nicer than that. But anyway. Anyway, I was having my first MRI. How many of you have had an MRI? MRI, am I saying it right, Mira? MRI, yeah. And I was going to have my MRI. And I went in and I said, I always write through tests and things like that. So I don't focus on the test. I don't focus on what's happening. I do something else. I have something ready. And I had my tablet, my pencil. Folks, the MRI machine, all it would take was me. And it hardly would take me. I mean, they said, have you ever had one of these before? And they were looking at me kind of funny, you know. And I went, no. And they acted like we didn't think so, you know. I said, it won't bother if I take this in with me. They said, I don't think you'll want it. You can barely get your hands in it, you know. And you're buried alive is what the deal is, you know. And you're definitely not going to be riding, you know, or anything like that. Again, people, you can either have a fit or you can laugh. You can either, and I am a little bit claustrophobic, and you get in there, and they're doing tapping on this. You feel like you're in a steel casket, and they're tapping on it, you know, seeing if you're alive or not, you know. And they say that they'll watch for your breathing and stuff, but I've had people say other things before, too. People who don't know whether you should have a mammogram or not, I'm not going to trust for whether or not I'm still breathing in that thing, that steel casket or not. And they said we could say on a microphone whether we wanted out or not. Well, I wanted to be a good testimony and, you know, that I believe, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I was saying the Lord is my shepherd. I was even wishing I knew the rosaries. I would have done beads or anything, you know. I would have eaten beads. I wouldn't have cared what, you know. I don't even mind most tests, but I mean, this was too closed in for me. So people, you might as well laugh. You might as well. It's just a continual feast. You can have a continual feast. Go ahead and tell God you're sorry for what you did wrong. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Do what you can to make it right with people you have been wrong with. But then go ahead and laugh. I resent that the world can laugh and people can say, oh, they're drinking. And we can go to a restaurant and have a big time because we don't have a beer bottle in front of us. They'd want us to straighten up. And people, they always want us to do these things that are, if it's not illegal, immoral, or against the Bible, do it if you want to. There's not much left there, but I mean, I always tell at school, if it's not illegal, immoral, against the Bible, or against the handbook, there really isn't much left then. No, there's a whole lot left. And people, don't let people put you down for having fun. Oh, you're always carrying on. I hope so. I'd like to think so. Folks, most of us are going to end up in nursing homes if we live long enough. And you know the people they take care of first in nursing homes, the ones that are fun. You better laugh and start laughing a lot. Folks, when I was so sick and acting so spooky and all that stuff with extreme depression, I didn't pull people toward me any more than I do when I'm laughing now. In fact, I didn't pull them toward me at all. People who make fun of you about laughing or talking a lot, as long as you're not talking people down or you're not hurting anybody, go ahead and talk. Thank the Lord you can talk. You know, be glad for it. Just use it right. Just use your tongue and your lips right for good things and all of this. But thank the Lord that I love to laugh. Sometimes when I'm feeling so down and somebody comes around and gives me something to laugh about, people just look for things to laugh about. Around here, it's not funny. Just look at each other. I've gotten tickled at myself about the mattress tags. When I was a little kid, you know, it said on the mattress tags, do not remove under penalty of law or something like that. It didn't say for retailers only. It just said, do not remove. I used to think my mother leave great big things off of sofa cushions and back of the new couch. I mean, great big tags stuck out because we were going to go by the law. I mean, you know, the decorating didn't matter. We were still going to have those tags hanging out. You know, they hung at everything. When I'd really get to feeling wicked or like a rebel, I'd go take a mattress tag off. And then I'd look around to see if a policeman were coming. And I remember where I was living when I was scared to death. There was one cop in the town. We called him the town cop. And I was scared to death. He knew that I took a mattress tag off. And I was out in the yard when he came by and got scared to death. But I did wonder, how could one cop know when a little kid was tearing off a mattress tag in a bedroom in a house in Blue Springs, Nebraska? You know, I really thought that I had done something so wicked. It was years. I was married a long time before it came out in the magazines that that meant for retailers only. I went and tore every tag off of every sofa and every pillow I could from then on. People, I mean, if we could teach how to live as well as they taught not to tear off the tags, we'd be doing really well. We can't get anything across, but boy, they got that across, didn't they? They really did. People, did you ever always believe you'd ought to? Why you? How many of you wear clean underwear? Because why? Why? You tell me. You might get in accident and end up at the hospital. How many of you? Your mothers told you that. That got across. I mean, lying and stealing, go ahead, but do put on clean underwear. Can't you just see going in? How many of you, the preachers ask how many were nurses. How many are nurses? Did you ever, when somebody come in, go, can't take care of you. You got dirty underwear. People, just go wear dirty underwear. You know, just if you want to wear it, you wear it. Where do these tapes go? Hopefully no place. Would you have them edited before they go out of here, please? This is for these women only. And I feel they're about as bad as I am. But you don't know. There might be a nice lady at their church who would be offended by this. So you better check these tapes. Don't let your husband do it either. Oh, boy. Oh, man. When we went to this, you know, outside of Chicago and everything was bigger than I thought, my husband never prepared me for this kind of situation, you know, and that we were going to be with a growing school that just grew like crazy starting 21 years ago. And he's the president of it. And you know, I don't mind being, weren't teaching there, but living with the president's terrible. He always thinks I should be an example to the other faculty and staff members. You all know how that is, as preachers-wise and so forth. You're supposed to be an example to the other ladies. You know, I hate being an example. I just hate it. But anyway, they start asking me to come out. I didn't speak until then, until we went to that college. And I still don't really speak, as you can tell. I just talk. But anyway, woof, woof. But anyway, see, I don't speak. Speak, boy, speak. But anyway, these are really fun ladies. Really, this is the way California is. I could get with this. I could get with this program. And these are the better ones. Southern California is bad. This is the better of California, right? Yeah, okay. One's bad and one's good. You know how everybody says y'all have a name and everything, yet you're the best fundamentalists out here. I got the whole that just a little bit ago, and I believe it. I can tell that. But anyway, I was asked to come out to my home state to speak. Some people who had been in our school, Sullivan, said, if you'll come to Omaha, we know your dad lives in Kearney, Nebraska, and if you'll fly to Omaha, we'll bring you to Omaha, and we'll give you our car so you can go on out to see your daddy, and then we can't have a big meeting. We're just a little church and everything. I said, well, that's fine, no problem, you know, and everything. And they were just so nice, though. They said, we'll give you a second car we have. And then when you come back from Kearney, you can have a little meeting with our ladies in our own little church and then go on back to Chicago. And that sounded really good. I thought that was really nice of them for me to get to see my daddy and all that and still have a meeting and everything. So, and right in my home state that I grew up in. So all this was fine. And Mrs. Sullivan, the pastor's wife, and her son, who had all of them been at Hiles Anderson College, so I knew them. The son had gone to our college, too, and he was sitting back here, and the pastor's wife was driving over here. And I was giving my full attention, like a good person, to the people. I was having such a good time getting to know them again and being reunited with them and so forth. And so we pulled up to a shopping mall in Omaha where there was a cafeteria, and they said, we'll go into the cafeteria to eat, and then we have our other car here, and you can take this car then and go to Kearney, and we'll see you in a few days. And I said, fine, and everything. We went on in and ate, and then they left. They left keys with me, and they went. I said, well, I've got to do a little shopping for my dad's birthday here, and while I'm in a big city, because we live in such a small town, and I'll do some shopping. And so I did my shopping, and I had the keys to the car, and then I went out to get in the car. People, I'm used to not knowing where I live my car. I don't know whether it's Donald Duck section A, 1, 2, 3, you know. There's a trick to it. Don't ever let anybody know that you don't know what you're doing. You know, act like you're just out exercising, waiting on somebody. You're really trying to find your car because people are going to go, oh, she doesn't know where her car is, you know. So act like no problem. You know, say, lady, have you lost your car? Go, oh, no, just out for the walk here. You know, getting some exercise. But people, I wasn't used to losing my car and not knowing what color, what license number, what make. What year? I just couldn't see myself going up to the security guard and saying, I have a key to a car. Will you help me find the car? I just didn't think that was going to work, you know, at all. And I started walking up and down. I thought maybe something will trigger my memory. You know, I started walking. And then I thought, no, I'll go back to the mall and call the people. They'll know what color their car is. And I went to call the people, and they weren't there. And I thought it's going to be 11 o'clock tonight before I get home, just because I can't find a car. This is so stupid. You know, you start to berate yourself. Why can't you remember Donald Duck? You know, why? Why? You know, or 1 or 2 or A or B or C or whatever it is. Or colors. Sometimes they go by colors. You know what all those cute things are they do. But I just could not remember. And I went up and down roads, and I saw a car with a Bible on the windshield. Now, in Nebraska, you don't see many of those. Do you see many cars here with Bibles on the windshield? In the right under the dashboard. I thought, I'll try that. I tried it, and I went on to Kearney. I've been back for some years now, and I have never gone to prison, so I guess it must have been the car. People, at the time, you know, you feel like, why can't you be more organized, you know, kind of put your cars under, you know, file them away or something in a case. But really, just have some fun over it. Just go ahead and have fun. Now, you've done those things. You know you have. You know you've done some of that silly stuff. I was going to be with my sister when her husband was being operated on one morning, real early in the morning. He was being operated on for lower back surgery, and we were all concerned and everything. And I told her to go on, and I would be in the motel room where we were at a clinic. I'll brush my teeth, and I'll be doing this and that, and I'll come over pretty soon. I started brushing my teeth. Well, we were just at Mayo Clinic again, in Rochester, close to the clinic. I was just brushing away, and my teeth got on fire. My gums went. I thought, man, am I glad I'm by the Mayo Clinic because something terrible is happening to me. You know, this is awful. And I said, well, I got to really brush them good, though, and get my teeth brushed so that when they look, you know, you don't want people looking at your teeth and they'll be all dirty, you know, and everything. You know how you like to clean up before you go to the doctor, you know, or get the house clean before the maid comes, or, you know, get your teeth clean before you go get them clean, or that kind of thing. And I was just brushing away, and I looked down, and I was brushing my teeth with Bengay. I kid you not. Well, I don't like to say that word. I get deep heat now because there's no bane straight. I don't like to use that term. But actually, it was Bengay. I was foaming at the mouth. I was burning up. My gums were absolutely burning. I mean, they were red. I was burning them to death. Folks, I was in a hurry. I was nervous. There was a toothpaste tube there and a tube of Bengay. I mean, how do I know which one I'm getting? That's happened to you, too. I see someone else down there. It acts like it's happened to her, too. What do we do, folks? When we're supposed to give up the world. We're not supposed to be a part of the world. We're supposed to stay out of the world. It's 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18. If we're to stay out, and folks, we can hardly go to malls anymore. Have you noticed that? I mean, that's something you kind of like to do. But you go past most of those places, and the rock music's coming out of it so loud. You know, and what's going on in malls, you know, is just unheard of. You know, you can hardly spend very much time in malls. And try to go to an entertainment that's not centered around the church. Just try. Just try to go to a school entertainment and stay away from the world. And you'll find out there just isn't anything out there. You just can't do it. We've got to replace our entertainment with our own fun. We've got, in your homes, get your board games. You say, my kids are all gone. But you and your husband, why don't you play some games? He won't ever play any game. Well, you play it by yourself. At least it'd be better to have a board game than you be bored. People, when we get bored, we get into trouble, don't we? A preacher's wife was talking to me about her son, who's been just such a fine boy. He still is a fine boy, but he's getting in a little bit of trouble. And I said, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? He was in some wrong music. And he came to her and said, Mom, what do I do? How do I get off this wrong music? And instead of going, ooh, you shouldn't even like it. You know, get it thrown away. She got him some tapes of good, lively quartet music that was not jazzy, but was good for him. And she got him some tapes of a guy who really sings out loud, belts it out, you know, but not jazzy at all, but good Christian music. You know, we do replacement things. Get your home alive. Make it a live home. Make your own life alive. And you won't be missing the world. We're going to miss the world unless we replace the world with a lot of good things. And like I say, if it's not illegal, immoral, or against the Bible, do it. You know what? A lot of us, we're so upset about our kids. If our little kid gets up on a ledge and they've got our hand and they're walking on a ledge, we say, get down from there. Why? Why do they have to get down from that ledge? If we've got their hand, they're not going to fall. And you say, well, they might do it when we're not with them. Well, that's true about everything. We'd have to say no to everything. It's okay to say, honey, you can do this with you. You're with Mama, and you've got my hand. And explain that they'll fall if they're up there alone and all that. You know what usually it is? We don't want someone seeing us with our kid up on the ledge. My girl, when she was about in the 7th or 8th grade, these clunky shoes came in. Like, I wear orthopedic shoes, and I don't like orthopedic shoes. And these look like orthopedic shoes, and they were stylish. And I started to have a fit about it, and I thought, what's the matter with them? They're not a bit sexy. And I thought, that's good. The guys won't look at her. I better be for these shoes. Get 3 pair of them. You know, just because I didn't like them, why be against them? She liked them, and there wasn't a thing. I just didn't like them was off. You know, why don't we just let people have their own kind of fun, their own kind of enjoyment, and not be against everything, so that we can have a lot of laughter and a lot of fun in our homes. And be sure it's not just a prejudice that you're all upset about. We've got to fight for too many things. We've got the world to fight, the flesh, the devil. We've got the church, the blood, the book to fight for. We don't have time to fight little prejudices. And so maybe somebody is a little too loud for you. Well, maybe somebody else is a little too quiet for you. But maybe you're the two that need each other. Maybe the quiet one would calm the loud one down a little bit and vice versa. Maybe that's exactly what's needed. We stay away from the very people that sometimes we need the most. The world's having no fun, folks. There is no adult fun. Any fun that you have is probably fun you're getting from kids. Kids know how to have fun. And we're always squelching that in their lives, it seems like. You know, we don't want them to have it. And they love adults that will enter in and do some of the fun things that they like to do. Her little girl is 7, and her niece is 6. One day, Jane and I were over at the house last summer just working away on Christian womanhood things, and her girl was being so good, and she was sweeping off my back porch and everything, and I thought, all she's going to think about me is just that when she comes over, she's got to be quiet, shut up, let Mama work, and she's got to go work too. And I thought, I would rebel against that. And I said, Jane, let's call up Chris, her sister-in-law, and see if she and Ruthie can come over and go to lunch. And I've always wondered down at the corner how long it would take to get through all 12 drive-thrus. Just down from our corner, there's a Taco Bell, a McDonald's, a Burger King, a Denny's, all of those. And so we made rules. And then pretty soon Chris came up and Ruthie, and I said, nobody can get out of the car. We have to buy one thing at every place. White Castle, nobody wanted anything like that there. The hamburgers sort of smell like B.O. But anyway, nobody wanted anything there, but she got a diet drink. I remember you got a Diet Coke there. We had to get one thing at every place, and we had to keep going. And we started on one side of the road and went clear around, down and around there and around that intersection. It took us 45 minutes. We didn't spend any more money than we would have spent if we just went to one and sat down and acted like normal people. People chose what they wanted from different places, and we timed ourselves and had a big time doing it. You know, I thought, you know, I'm not able to do very much. I'm physically not able to do very much. I have a bad back problem, a yellow streak up it. But anyway, I'm not physically able to do very much, but you know what? You can do something like that. You can sit in the car and figure up something. But you know why we don't do something like that? People might think we're funny. Honey, they already think you're funny. You might as well just go ahead. And let's think on those things so we can rejoice. I know that fun isn't real joy. Fun's not always real joy. But fun comes out of having real joy. When you're at peace, knowing that you've done your best to make peace with what your life is now, and from this point on, you've done the best you can to make peace with God and peace with your fellow man, and you can go ahead and have fun. Maybe some people are hurting because of things you've done, but still it's not going to help them for you to not have fun. So that the best thing you can do is learn how to have, and I kind of resent people getting around in a youth group, and they'll go, Lord, thank you that we can have good, clean Christian fun. There isn't any other kind of fun. Even at sports events that adults go to, generally what's going on is drinking, cursing, gambling, and all kinds of other things. That's the closest you can get to adult fun. I just love to watch a kid and see what a kid does and then try to do it, to try to remember how to have fun again. And we get so old and crotchety, and sometimes you get old and crotchety when you're 20 years old. And you just tell kids don't want to be around you. And folks, that's where the action is with kids. And let's learn how to be a joyful person, a radiant Christian, a fun person that attracts the Sunday school kids, attracts the youth group kids. And you know what? One thing, when you're fun, you don't have to be pretty. Isn't that nice? You know that kids who have teachers who are fun think their teachers are beautiful? I can remember coming home saying about a teacher of mine, I thought he was so handsome. Folks, he was anything but, now that I look back. I mean, that was one homely man. I don't like to say ugly about people because I think attitudes are ugly. I don't think people are ugly. But that man was homely at the best. There is no question about it. And I told my folks, I acted like to my folks, he was the best looking man that had ever lived. He was good looking because he was fun. He was nice to us and he was fun. And you can be considered pretty and nice because you're a fun person. Some of you say, Mrs. Evans, Marlene, whichever one you call me, you students, you call me Mrs. Evans. Marlene, I don't know. I'm not the kind. Do you know there was a Marlene Evans here last night? She's not here today, is she? Wasn't she just able to come last night or something like that? I couldn't believe it when she came up and said her name was Marlene Evans. There's a soap opera star in Chicago named Marlena Evans, too. Dr. Marlena Evans. I'm not it. People talk about soap operas, talk shows are not, they're all they are is live people doing the same thing as the soap operas are doing, by the way. You know, just we don't need to be letting that. Oprah's the world's counselor now, is really what we've got happening. That's what's really happening. But where was I? I was with Dr. Marlene Evans. But before that, I was trying to say something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not taking notes on it anyway. I found out there was a Dr. Marlene Evans when it was my birthday. My birthday is November 11th. So if you want to put that down, you can put that down in your notes. Any cards or gifts can be sent to Christian Womanhood. The address on Christian Womanhood paper that we gave you free, and so of course you'd want to send a gift. Many years ago on November 11th, the people who were working with me on Christian Womanhood, it's 20 years old this next month, and people who were working with me on Christian Womanhood came to the airport to see me off and give me a birthday party, a surprise birthday party, because I was going to be out of town on my birthday down to Florida to Dr. Bob Gray's school in Florida. Trinity Baptist, talking to the girls down there. And they put me in a wheelchair, and I didn't need one then. And they put a blindfold around me and all this kind of thing, and did all kinds of stupid things to me. And then put me on the plane, and JoJo Moffat was going with us, and she went up to the captain and said, Mark, do you know who's on board? Marlene Evans is on board. It's her birthday. Could you give her a gift or just say something over the intercom, you know, like happy birthday? And they said FCC regulations didn't allow it and all this stuff. She told me later that they said all this. And after a while, I guess they got to thinking that soap star opera is on board. So they did. They said, Dr. Marlena Evans is on board. And they came back with a nice bottle of wine, probably from Napa Valley. Who knows? And after I drank it, no. People